Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
Time now for FMB Friday.
Yes, perfect timing, of course, every Friday.
Mm.
And we are talking about one of your favorite places.
Zouk. No, but you think about it, it's really evolved, right? I mean, it used to be at Jiak Kim Road, mm-hmm. near Great Wall City, Zion Road, that area. And then now it's at Clarke Quay. And it used to be a dance floor. Now it's a restaurant. It's really been tweaking its business model quite a number of times. I mean, do you have any fond memories of Zouk?
I've been there, I have to admit, I've been there less than five times, I think, in my time here in Singapore.
Really?
Yeah. The first time I went was on a Wednesday and I felt really, really old.
Why?
It's the crowd.
Why, you couldn't dance to this?
I couldn't understand what they were doing.
There's steps to this, you know. I used to be on a platform, you know.
That tiered platform, I remember that one. It was fascinating. I was there thinking, where did they learn their dance steps from?
I don't know. We just go there and we learn.
But the music was fabulous.
Yeah,
I did feel really old because I did enjoy the music.
Whew, that was a trip down memory lane for us. But you know, Zouk has been the go-to night spot for those who are looking for, you know, I would call it a clubbing experience because
was
of the dance
steps. Was that Bananarama that you just played?
That was Bananarama.
Ooh, see, I still know my music.
But a lot of it has changed this year because of COVID-19. Mm-hmm. A lot of nightlife establishments have had to somewhat temporarily shut their doors. And I believe, you know, they're not open yet.
I don't think they're open yet. Yeah. Phase two restaurants have been allowed to come back to open again with dine-in customers. But there are limited capacity, of course. And there's no clear timeline as to when nightclubs will reopen for business.
Yeah. So what is Zouk Group doing to stay afloat? Simple. They've decided to pivot their business model.
To?
Well, they've transformed Capital Lounge, which is in the second floor of the Zouk complex, right? Mm-hmm. It's now a 100-seater pop-up restaurant. Yeah. And you get, you know, Asian, Western sort of food, selection of wines, spirits, cocktails from Zouk. So basically, it's turned itself into a bit of a restaurant.
Fascinating. Pop-up restaurant.
Yeah. Well, great. Let's find out more. Andrew Lee, the CEO of Zouk Group, is on the line. Andrew, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Yeah, I'm good. Thank you.
Were you dancing along to Bananarama earlier?
So you're probably my generation.
Oh, no!
Wait, your generation as in you grew up with Bananarama or were you already dancing when Bananarama was big?
Probably early teen of Bananarama, I'd say.
Okay, we're on the same generation.
Oh, boy. Okay. Let's talk about Zouk. It is one of the pioneer clubbing institutions here in Singapore. Could you tell us a little bit about its history for those of us who are scratching our heads at Mambo Night?
Yeah, Zouk really is it's an institution, isn't it? I mean, I think I didn't realize how special it was to Singaporeans' hearts until I came back to Singapore about 5 years ago. And really, everyone I spoke to had some kind of story about Zouk. You know, whether it was your taxi uncle or your CEO or your kind of student, everyone has kind of got fond memories of Zouk, you know, through their lives, you know. And I think in the last 3 or 4 years, we've evolved that experience into more of a global lifestyle group. So now we have 17 outlets across the globe. And we're just growing as we speak.
All right. Now, the COVID-19 pandemic surely had a negative impact on Zouk. So how did the company handle this?
Yeah, it was definitely a very tough time. I think, you know, when it was first announced, it basically, out of all 17 outlets, we only had one outlet that was actually open, which was Five Guys, and it only did delivery. So obviously our revenues were severely, severely affected. I think moving forward, we really tried to pivot our business to kind of make sure that we could sustain ourselves during this kind of pandemic time. And one of the things that you mentioned is really that we changed Capital Lounge into a restaurant. We've also done a strategic partnership with Lazada, for example, where we're actually making our downstairs clubs into a live streaming studio. So these are two of the kind of strategic pivots we've done during this time to kind of handle this drop in revenues.
And how fast did you have to make a decision to pivot into changing, being flexible and changing all these venues into something that can at least earn some sort of revenue at this time?
It was definitely very fast off the bat. I think, to be honest, like personally, like the first week was quite tough because everything happened so soon between, you know, the DORSCON levels and then the reduced capacity and then obviously the shutdowns. But I always knew that I think nightlife was going to be one of the last to open. So I knew the restaurants were probably going to open first. So quite after 2-3 weeks into the circuit breaker, I spoke to my team and I said, is there a possibility that we can see some way that we can change caps on the restaurant? And luckily enough, we had a license for a restaurant down in Red Tail, which is our bar downstairs, and we were able to extend that into Capital. And the Lazada partnership as well was also, you know, I was trying to brainstorm my team and say, guys, look, what can we use that space for? Because we've got this bigger new space there, and you know, and we're not, you know, don't think about nightlife coming back so soon. You know, what can we do to adapt in this crisis? And, you know, they came back with ideas about, you know, what we could do when, you know, we open up with like 500 people. And I said, no, guys, let's think about what we can use this space, you know, not as a, and actually originally the idea with Lazada was I was thinking of making it into a supermarket. And that's why I was thinking, oh, you know, online retailers might want an offline presence. And the two biggest ones were Amazon and Lazada. But after I brainstormed with James Chang, who's the CEO of Lazada Singapore, you know, we thought, you know, a live streaming studio could also work. So yeah, that's how those two kind of really came about.
Yeah, with the Lazada space right now, you're talking about 31,000 square feet. And it is a huge space. But talking about Capital Kitchen, this eat-in dinery, this is not your first F&B venture. Of course, you guys have Five Guys as well as Red Tail Bar. How could you walk us through that process, you know, getting the food shop license? How long did it take? And right now, where are we at? What's the reception been? How have you been able to tell your loyal customers, hey, we've got a restaurant now, come here?
Well, to be honest, I think the process in the beginning was, you know, we had to work with authorities. SFA was really the main authority in URA. I think, to be honest, they were very supportive in us kind of, you know, helping to us adapt and pivot that business model. It probably took about a month and a bit. Okay. To be honest, phase two happened a lot earlier than I expected. So I think we had to train the staff. I think that's one of the things which we found quite difficult is really having to train staff who are usually working in the club into a restaurant, you know, where the service is obviously a lot more. You have to pay a lot more attention to the service. Also, we did like constant kind of food tastings, you know, within 2 weeks, basically, I was tasting pretty much food every day because I think the food that we were offering down Red Tail is quite different to the one we were up in the capital. So at the beginning, we were trying to go fine dining, but I thought that was, you know, it tends to be too difficult, you know. So now we're kind of really into fan favorites like pastas and steaks and fish and chips and stuff. And the reception has been amazing. You know, we've been fully booked pretty much every weekend we've opened and we've got wait lists and stuff. And I think it's just testament to the brand. I think the Zouk brand got such a loyal following. I really, you know, just have to be very thankful that, you know, it's been so generously received.
So speaking of food, what kind of menu should we be expecting from Capital Kitchen?
Yeah, so we have some kind of things from Red Tail, which we knew that the guests really liked, but we've added on kind of a bit more substantial meals like fish and chips. We've got a congee there. I've actually cooked a pasta for the chef a few days ago, so that should be on the special next weekend. So hopefully that will be
kind of congee, pasta, and fish and chips. That's very wide.
Yeah, it is wide. I think I think the menu is kind of born from a lot of feedback between our guests and the staff, and I think we just, I know it's a bit of mixed between like Asian and, you know, and Western, but I think we want to just have something where the people could come and, you know, they enjoy themselves, something for everybody. And then they can enjoy a really good drink because drinks are really our kind of forte. I'm connected with the Burnt Ends meat supplier. So we have some really amazing steaks on the menu, which I would definitely recommend.
You know what's weird? Every time I think about Zouk and food, I think about the hot dog because the old Zouk. That's what I have before going inside.
The famous hot dog. and mashed potatoes.
Yeah. But Andrew, I'm curious. I mean, where you're at right now, you've already pivoted the business to a certain extent. Is there more that can be done? I mean, who knows how long this would last? There's always fear of a potential second wave. You know, something's got to be done. In terms of mindset, where are you at right now? What are you anticipating?
Yeah, well, actually, I was just speaking to the authorities yesterday. I think they do feel that nightlife is going to be really one of the hardest industries to open. I think just the fact that you need critical mass and the fact that you need social interaction, it makes it very difficult for that to come up in such a safe space. But we are working towards a solution where maybe Zouk can be one of the pilot trials to kind of open up that space. And we're working, you know, hand in hand. We kind of came up with some kind of COVID-19 nightlife playbook, which we adapted from different countries and also some cruise ship manuals. And that's working now with you know, STD and MOH to kind of see if we can come back with something which is quite workable and everyone feels safe. But, you know, my mind, to be honest, is really to see how we can be sustainable during this time. Obviously, the government have been very supportive, you know, in their job support scheme. They've been very supportive with, you know, the rental waivers. So I think with all these in place, as long as you have, you know, some kind of revenue coming in and, you know, obviously there's a huge drop from when we were, you know, I think it's not about making profit right now. It's really about surviving.
Through this
pandemic. So, I'm actually constantly trying to strategize. I actually have some really great, I'm on some customers and great, quite interesting deals right now.
Okay.
For more strategies. But I think we're still kind of in that earlier process. So hopefully we can announce that quite soon.
All right. We will stay tuned and see what and how the Zouk Group will evolve as we move along this post-COVID-19.
Yeah. I know right now you're also offering like Zoom party packages.
Zoom party.
How does that work, Andrew?
Yeah. So I think one of the really kind of great things that we did earlier in the circuit breakers, we worked with STB, Singapore Tourism Board, to come up with something called Futurescapes. And this was an online Zoom party where we actually had over 1,000 had 1,000 participants online on Zoom, and we had like world class DJs. So we had Singapore talents like Jasmine Soko, Young Raja, you know, Sugar Shay. We had Diplo, the A-list DJ from the States, and we kind of broadcast to three different you know, zones in the world. So we had like the US, we had Europe, and we had Asia. Three different timings, and it was great because usually on a Zoom party you kind of, you know, there's like one person speaking and then there's another kind of like the rest of everyone has to watch, right? But with this one, you kind of, you know, you could watch the DJ. He'll be playing the music and everyone could be drinking, enjoying the music and dancing. And you can spotlight different people as well onto the DJ as well. So he could, so it became a lot more interactive, I think. And we can also, because we're a one-stop shop, we can actually provide food, catering, and also kind of like drinks as well. So, you know, in this time where you can't really congregate with a lot of people, it made sense to kind of, you know, give this elevated package for the Zoom, like events package. So you have an elevated, like a drinks hours, I guess, you know, moving forward.
You can also probably hit into the, and I'm just throwing in ideas here, you could probably hit into the wedding crowd, those that are, you know, getting married in a very small capacity who used to party at Zouk, probably met at Zouk. I mean, I know this is something that was
is
done
that
in the
you?
Past. No, it's not me.
No, you're exactly right. You're exactly right. I think we used to have amazing wedding after parties.
Yeah.
Now in this time for sure, I definitely will speak to my team so we can add that into kind of our package.
Really wish I could have. I'm supposed to walk down the aisle, but you know, well, I'm not walking down the aisle, but I'm at the other end of it. But oh well, no Zouk party for me.
You can have a Zouk Zoom party.
Zoom party.
All the guests that you want.
Andrew, are you thinking about when, you know, things, and just to wrap things up, when things eventually reopen and we so-called get back to normal, there's some kind of a vaccine, do you think the nightlife industry will be the same? Are you expecting still a lot of caution?
I truly believe that, you know, right now I think one of the hardest things about nightlife is the dance floor. I think having a congregation of such a large amount of people in a kind of a quite small space is going to be difficult. Mm-hmm. I think with a vaccine, I mean, one of the things with Zouk being almost three decades in history is that a testament that partying still kind of can live through in such a, you know, so many different times, right? Mm. So I truly believe that there's something very special about that experience of having so many people together, and I think that will definitely come back. It's just about a matter of when and how it's going to come back. So I think in the medium term, definitely maybe smaller crowds, maybe smaller groups of people together. But you know, in the long term, I truly believe that it will come back in a big way.
Well, for now, we do have Capital Kitchen. You can head over there to check it out or head over to their website. Andrew Lee is CEO of Zouk Group on the line with us. Andrew, thank you so much for taking the time. Take care and stay safe. Yeah,
thank you. Thank you very much.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.